All right, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the 12th of September, 2021. I'm coming at you live from Washington, D.C. Good morning to you. It's the Sunday live service sermon. It's not really a service. I'm talking. It's Fritz talking. That's what it is. So the last couple of weeks, we started the book of Acts. We finished the book of Luke. Luke is the author of Luke and Acts. I got to get my other video device going here. We finished the book of Acts, and we finished the book of Luke, and we started the book of Acts, and we went through Acts 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think we started Acts chapter 5, so we're going to finish up Acts chapter 5 right here. All right. Holy mac moly, we got a lot to go through here. Okay, let's start off with let me go back here, Acts chapter 5. So we talked about how the consistent message of Peter to the Jews was, y'all killed the Christ, the Holy One of God. You killed the Messiah. You murdered him. This is consistent, and we're going to find this going forward. The message was consistent. He didn't come and say, "Oh man, you guys are the chosen ones of God. You were your fathers were." But his message was, "Y'all murdered the Messiah. You murdered Jesus Christ." And that was pretty consistent. So, and then we get to the place in Acts chapter 4. Peter was full of the Holy Spirit, and he began to speak the word of God with boldness. He had two sermons to the Jews by this point. And then it talks about how there was sharing amongst the believers. And it says, there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale and lay them down at the disciples' feet, and they would distribute them. Now, Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas, which by the apostles translated means the son of encouragement, he owned attractive land. He sold it. All right, now we're not going to get into the whole, you know, socialism versus private property thing here. What I want to talk about is selling the land. They sold the land. They sold the land of Judea. They sold the land of Jerusalem. They sold the land. We're going to cash out of this land. We're not owners of this land anymore. We don't want to be. We're dispossessing ourselves of this physical land. Now, who bought the land? Who bought the land? Judas bought the land. The chief priests bought the land. The chief priests bought off Judas with 30 pieces of silver. And there's two stories in the Bible. One is he went out and he bought a field and his guts burst open and he died on that land. The field of blood, Akeldama. Another story says he went back to the temple and he threw the 30 pieces of the silver at the high priest. He says, "I don't even want this money anymore. Why? I did wrong. I did evil." And they said, "What is that to us? We don't care." So the chief priest said, "Well, let's take the money." And the hypocrites that they are, "Well, we can't accept this money. It's blood money." They paid out the blood money. The Pharisees, the chief priests paid out the blood money. And when it was brought back to them, they said, "Oh, we're too good to take the blood money." But they paid the blood money for his betrayal. And then they're too self-righteous to even take it back. And it says they went out and they bought the potter's field. So either way, there's a big difference here. The Pharisees and Judas are buying the land. And the Christians are saying, no, we're selling the land. It's done. We're done here. We're selling this land. Now, we also have a story of Ananias and Sapphira. This is about revival. All right, they come, they try to play tricks. "Hey, man, we want to morally pose as good people. So we're going to sell our land, and we're going to give Peter some of the money, but keep the rest to ourselves," and they drop dead. And these things happen during revivals. When the Holy Spirit shows up like this, and I've certainly never seen this in my lifetime. We probably haven't seen this since the Second Great Awakening. When the Holy Spirit shows up, let me tell you something. It's scary. It's terrifyingly scary. And people get converted, and weird things happen. And my prediction is we will see this again. We will have a Third Great Awakening, and it's going to be terrifying. And here Ananias and Sapphira show up, and they literally drop dead because of the shenanigans they're going to play. Peter said to him, hey, look, man, the land was yours. And after you sold it, the money was yours. You didn't have to come and you didn't have to give us anything. It was your land. It's your money. Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Why are you representing that you gave everything here when in fact you kept a portion for yourselves? You could have kept it all. Just say, hey, you know, it's our stuff. It's our money. But you're representing one thing. You're doing something else. Boom, drop dead. And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. They were with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly being added to their number. To such an extent, they even carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them, on any one of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. They were all being healed. So this is pretty amazing stuff. This is a revival. This is what a Holy Ghost revival looks like. You have miracles. You have strange things. You have scary things going on. Going back a little bit about Jesus Christ, because we're going to see some accusations by the Jews, and you'll see this consistently. You saw this through the Gospels, the Gospel according to Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, all through Acts. The Jews accuse. The Jews accuse. The Jews accuse. You're saying you're doing wrong things. You're doing bad things. You're speaking against the law of God, and you're speaking against this place in the temple of God. And first of all, Jesus Christ never spoke against the law, but he did speak against the oral tradition significantly. He spoke against the oral tradition a lot, the Talmud, what has come to be known as the Talmud. John 2, verse 19. Jesus Christ says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 2. His disciples came up and pointed out the temple buildings to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, you see? Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon the other, which will not be torn down. And later on, they're leading Jesus Christ off to be crucified, and the women are weeping. He turns around, he looks at the women, he says, don't weep for me, man. Do not weep for me. You need to weep for yourselves. Weep for yourselves, because this whole place is going to be destroyed. And so you get two groups of people. The people that are going to buy the land and the place that's going to be destroyed, and the people that said, you know what, it's time to sell the land and move on. And that's the real story of selling the land. It's time to dispossess ourselves of this cursed land. There's only one temple left. There's only one temple left. You want to know where God dwells? He dwells in his people. He dwells in his church. He dwells in his church. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. First of all, what was Peter's original name? Well, whatever it was, it got changed. Jesus says, I'm going to change your name to rock. You're stone. You're a rock. First disciple, first follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to name your name the rock. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the rock. He's the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone whom the builders rejected. And we talked about this even last week. The builders rejected the chief cornerstone. Who were the builders? It was supposed to be the Jewish leadership. And they rejected the chief cornerstone. Jesus said, I'm going to tear this temple down. I'm going to destroy this city. And I'm the new rock. I'm the cornerstone of the new temple. He's a stone of offense. He's a rock of offense. He's the chief cornerstone. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He created it all. But he's building a church upon his rock, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. And this is Peter, a rock, speaking to the other rocks that are part of this temple that's being built up to the glory of God. Peter had this down. He instructs the church, come to him as a living stone. See that? Come to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. Where did the sacrifices used to be held? They used to be held in that old temple. Temple was destroyed. God destroyed it. He used Roman armies to destroy it, but God destroyed it. He said very clearly, this will be torn down. Tear this temple down. Destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. So who's the new temple? It's Jesus Christ is the new temple. He's the cornerstone of the new temple. And the members of the church are the stones that are being fitted together as living stones. You're being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Who is this cornerstone? It's Jesus Christ. Where's Zion? It's the church. It's the church. The church is Zion. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. Who is it for? It's for you who believe. It's for you who believe. It's for the Christians. It's for the Christians that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, Master, Savior, Messiah, Christ, the literal Son of God. But for those who disbelieve, who disbelieves? Well, the Pharisees disbelieved. Chief priests disbelieved. The Jews disbelieved. That tradition continues to this day. Now, if they come to him and repent, there's hope for them. But it is only through Jesus Christ. There is no separate way. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this has become the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Now, this same scripture is quoted over and over and over again in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is foundational for the church. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests knew exactly who Jesus Christ was talking to. The stone which the builders rejected. Bible says they understood who Jesus was talking to and about. That's why they wanted to seize him and destroy him. Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. They're the ones that rejected Jesus Christ. The Jews rejected the chief cornerstone. The Pharisees rejected the chief cornerstone. They stumble because they are disobedient to the word. Why do they stumble? Because they're disobedient to the word. Jesus Christ told them, listen, if you would have believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. And we're going to get into that as we march into Acts chapter 7. Where they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. Into this doom, they were appointed. Oh, really? Really? Are you saying, Fritz, that the Jewish leadership was appointed to doom? Yes, I am. Why do you say that? It says it right here. They stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. They were appointed to that doom. But you, church, this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You, church, are a chosen race. You, Christian church, are a chosen race. Don't tell me people that reject Jesus Christ are a chosen race. Why do you believe this, church? Why do you believe this Protestant church, evangelical church? You're wrong. You are wrong on this. A people and a nation that reject Jesus Christ is not a chosen race. You are a chosen race, though. Those who are living stones being built up into a temple of God on the foundational, on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. You are the chosen race. It says it right there. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race. You are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a chosen race, Christian. You got different blood in you. You have a different blood and bloodline in you that goes through you that's different than anybody else on the face of the earth. You are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Right? Who's the people of God? Who are the people of God? It's the Christians. I lay in Zion a stone, a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. The stone which the builders rejected, this has become the very cornerstone. Who were the builders that rejected? It was the Jewish leadership. 1 Peter 2:4 again. And come to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. And you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to temple acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The only temple that exists is the church. And we're built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Jesus said, I'm going to destroy this temple. Not one stone will be left on top of it, on top of each other. Nothing will be here. Oh, you can't say that. You're speaking against the temple of God. Well, that's what Jesus Christ did, didn't he? He spoke against the temple of God, the old temple. He says, I'm going to destroy it. It's going to be destroyed. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders had rejected, that's the chief priests, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the builders, they rejected Jesus Christ. This stone has become the very cornerstone. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And they stumble to this day because they reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If you're a Christian, you need to get a hold of this. If you're a Jew, you need to get a hold of this. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were appointed. To this doom they were appointed. But you, Christian, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. Church, now you are the people of God. That's it. The builders rejected Jesus Christ. Temple was torn down, destroyed. They were trying to buy land in Judah and Jerusalem. The Christians sold it. We're done. We're selling the land. It's over. Sell the land. Don't hold on to it. Later on, we see in 70 AD that God sent the Roman armies. Sent the Roman armies to utterly destroy Jerusalem and the temple. Utterly wipe it out. He gave the Jews a generation to repent. Basically from 30 AD to 70 AD. 40 years. He gave them a generation to repent. From the time that Jesus Christ showed up to preach the gospel. He gave him 40 years. He gave him 40 years, gave him an entire generation to repent. That's why he says told his disciples when he rose from the dead, you go to Jerusalem and Judea first, and then go to Samaria, and after that go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's exactly what we find in the book of Acts. He gave them 40 years. He gave them an entire generation to repent. Then he sent the Roman armies to utterly destroy and wipe out Jerusalem and the temple, destroyed it. And while the Jews and Judas were buying land there, the Christians were selling the land, getting rid of it, selling their houses and selling the land. That's the message of that. They sold the land. No more. No more. And what we find in 70 AD is there had been many prophets came through and they said, listen, y'all need to get out of Jerusalem now. And it was a time of great feasts. And so all the Jews from around the world and from around Judea and all the lands around were flooding into Jerusalem for these feasts. And God had that city surrounded. And there was civil war in Jerusalem. It was, you read the accounts from Josephus, and it was a hideous, hideous time. Civil war and massacres, blood, fires, screaming. And they were utterly wiped out, utterly destroyed. The Sadducees, we're going to learn about the Sadducees and the high priest. The high priest came out of it. There was a priestly caste. There was a bloodline, a priestly caste. They're the high priests. They're the party of the Sadducees. Utterly wiped out. Utterly destroyed. Gone. Nothing left of the high priestly families. Nothing left of the Sadducees. We'll find out that those who survived that rejected Jesus Christ were the Pharisees, the Pharisaical line, because it wasn't based on a particular bloodline. They weren't descendants of Levi. You want to know who a Pharisee is? I'm going to tell you who a Pharisee is. This isn't Fritz's idea. This is out of the Jerusalem Post, written by Eli Cavon. In Jewish tradition, the Pharisees are forerunners of rabbis in theology and practice. This group of scribes and teachers established a foundation of Judaism for two millennia and are heroes in Jewish history. The reality is that the grand concept at the heart of Pharisaic Judaism, listen to me, the oral law, enabled the Pharisees to have wide latitude in interpretation of Jewish law and Hebrew scriptures. The concept of an oral law given to Moses in addition to the written law gave the Pharisees the ability to transcend a literalism that could be crippling in any attempt to interpret Jewish law. This is exactly what Jesus Christ railed against. Jesus was a railer too. I'm a railer. Jesus was a railer. Jesus Christ railed against the Jews. Jews come up to Jesus Christ and they say, why do you transgress the law in order to support your oral traditions? This is what I'm talking about. This article exactly describes who the Pharisees are. And this is there's a link up to this. And if you go to bloodandfaith.com, go to the article that says a very sad story, you'll find the reference to this. This is one case in that the Pharisaic interpretation reveals compassion, latitude, and understanding Jewish law. The oral law is the foundation of rabbinic Judaism. It has granted rabbis the authority to reach heights of great creativity and interpretation of Jewish law. This is the problem that the Christian church has today. We're following the traditions of the Pharisees. Jesus Christ warned the church, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Here it is right here, right out of Jerusalem Post, written by a Jew, for Jews, by Jews, in Israel. The Pharisees were the forerunners of the rabbis in introducing this critical concept that's been the groundwork of rabbinic Judaism for 2,000 years. And that's what the church has done. That's what the church is doing today. That's why Washington, D.C. is full of churches that go out and they preach a different gospel. They got the homosexual flag on every one of these churches that I've seen. They got the little rainbow flag on every one of them, some sign out in front of their churches. Every one that I've seen has got the homosexual flag out there. Then they do all their moral posing. Then you got these big Black Lives Matter things. Hey, I'm all for Black Lives. I'm all for Black Lives. One of the first converts was the Ethiopian eunuch. And we'll see that later on, probably next week. And he goes down to Ethiopia, preaches the gospel down there. I'm all for Black Lives and for white lives. Oh, you can't say that, Fritz. You can't say you're for white lives. Back to the sermon. So what's the reaction to all this? Acts chapter 5, the high priest rose up along with his associates, that is all the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. High priest and the Sadducees are going to go away in 70 AD. God gave the Jews 40 years. I gave them an entire generation to repent. And they did not, and he just utterly destroyed the temple, and he destroyed Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He laid the stone in Zion, his church. The church sold the land. They didn't buy the land. They didn't keep it. They sold it. They cashed out. It was the chief priests and Judas that were trying to buy land. So they laid their hands on the apostles, and they put them in jail. Later on, they said, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with his teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. We need to go back. We need to talk about this. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was crucified? Let's go to Matthew 23. He's talking to the Pharisees. Who become what? Who do the Pharisees become? They're the forerunners of today's rabbis for rabbinical Judaism, according to the Jews themselves. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And you say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in the shedding of the prophets, of the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you're the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Jesus Christ held them accountable. And you know, I know we like to believe in an atomized existence where there's no relationship between our offspring and our ancestors. Jesus Christ didn't see it this way. Matthew chapter 23, verse 31. So you testify against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Generational guilt, generational ties. Fill up, then, the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? This is Jesus Christ to the Pharisees, to the scribes, to the hypocrites. You brood of vipers, you serpents, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Matthew 27, 22 through 25. So here's Jesus Christ. He's in front of Pilate. He's in front of the European man. Jesus Christ is standing in front of the European man. The Bible says that the Jews would turn over Jesus Christ to godless men. So he's standing in front of Pilate. Pilate says to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, give us Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was the insurrectionist. He was the domestic terrorist. And she said, give us Barabbas. He was the domestic violence extremist. Barabbas was the domestic violence extremist. And Jesus says, give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Spare Barabbas. He's one of us. And Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus who was called the Christ? And they said, crucify him. The Jews said, crucify him. And he said, why? What evil has he done? The European man says, why? What evil has he done? But they kept shouting all the more, crucify him. Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting. He took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd and saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. The European man says, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. And all the people, who? All the people. Who? All the people. All the people. Who? The Jews. All the people. Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, chief priests, elders, leaders. All the people. And all the people said, his blood shall be upon us and our children. Matthew 27, verse 25. His blood shall be on us and on our children. So then you go back to the book of Acts. These high priests are freaking out. Said, we give you strict orders not to continue teaching this man in your name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. It was the Jews themselves, all the people, who said, his blood be upon us and our children. Peter responded, we must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death on a cross. Whom you put to death on a cross. In their face, this is the third sermon. And we're going to go into Stephen's sermon. Very consistent. Whom you put to death on a cross. Verse 31, Acts 5. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as the prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. God gave Jesus Christ to grant repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. All the chosen people of God will be saved. But the chosen people of God are believers in Jesus Christ. They're not the people who rejected him. We just covered this. 1 Peter chapter 2. I lay in Zion a stone, a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. He who believes in him shall not be disappointed. But the builders, the Jewish leadership, they rejected the chief cornerstone, and to this doom they were appointed. He is the one whom, Jesus Christ is the one whom God has exalted to his right hand as a prince and as a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. He gave them 40 years. Gave them 40 years. He started preaching about 30 AD. Temple's destroyed in 70 AD. 40 years, a full generation. Jesus Christ is crucified about 33 AD. So he preaches for 3 years, and so for another 37 years after that, you get time. The word goes forth. The word goes forth. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was the message to the Jews? It was very consistent. It's you are the ones that put him to death on a cross. And they either repented hard, they got born again, and got water baptized in Jesus Christ, or Acts chapter 5, verse 33, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. Pretty hard division here. There's none of this mamby-pamby, God loves you, and you know, you're God's chosen people. No. They came out and said, you're the one who put him to death on the cross. So they're going to kill him. Gamaliel comes out and said, hey, everybody just settle down. Before we kill him, consider this. There's other people that have rose up. They said there's somebody special. And, you know, sooner or later, you know, they're dead and they're gone. And let's not get all excited about this. We don't want to be found fighting against God. So he prophesied to him. There's another prophet. I mentioned prophets the other day. There's another prophet. He didn't see himself as a prophet. He just said, look, this is what's going on. Slow down here. So they took his advice. They called the apostles back in, and they flogged them. They beat them. They whipped them. And they ordered them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. All right? These apostles were the domestic extremists of the day. They were stirring up things. They were preaching a different master, a different God, different king, a different Lord. They preached Jesus Christ as Lord, Jesus Christ as Lord. And Pilate went to the Jews. He said, hey, is this your king? What did the Jews say? We have no king but Caesar. Let not the Christian be in that position today. Let not the Christian be in the position today where he says, we have no king but Caesar. We have no king but the secular governments over us. Oh, I'm sure you can find all kinds of scriptures to wiggle your way out of this. Be subject to all authorities. Well, was Peter subject to all authority? Was Jesus Christ subject to all authority? Peter says, hey, we got to obey God instead of man. We got to obey God instead of man. Verse 42, they kept right on preaching to Jesus Christ. And we come to an interesting little passage. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it seems that there was preference for the church was composed of different ethnicities, and a certain group was favored in the passing out of free bread. And they said, hey, this is a problem. And so they appointed deacons. Said, look, let's just, you know, let's deal with this and move on. Didn't become the center of their existence. They didn't stop and build a cult around it. They didn't stop and said, oh, this is the whole new calling of the church. And build a little shelter there and never move on from that. One of them was Philip. And one of them was also Stephen. Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs. So here's Stephen, preacher of the gospel. Hadn't been around a long time. Church hadn't been around a long time. Pentecost hadn't been around a long time. He was full of grace and power and was performing great signs and wonders. Who rises up against him? Acts chapter 6. But men from the synagogue of the freedmen, rose up against Stephen. And here's a pattern, and we're going to see this all through the book of Acts. They secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Acts chapter 6, verse 12. This is a pattern that's repeated and repeatable. This is the eternal word of God. Church, wake up. Be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. Got these little people out there stirring up the people and the elders and the scribes against the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they brought witnesses. The witness says, this man speaks incessantly against this holy place and the law. We've heard him say that this Nazarene Jesus will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us. All true. He didn't speak against the law. He spoke against the customs which Moses handed down, the Talmud, the oral traditions. It is absolutely true that Jesus said he will destroy this place. We covered that at the beginning. Notice that nowhere do they come out and say that, you know, the Jew named Jesus the Jew. No. The Nazarene. The Galilean. The Nazarene. And at one point the Jews accused him of being the son of a Samaritan. Blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Said, you're not born of God. You're born of fornication. Blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. Unforgivable sin. So yeah, Jesus said, yeah, this place can get destroyed. This temple, see this temple here? Not one stone will be left on top of one another. Not one stone. Women of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Don't weep for me, man. You need to weep for yourselves. Weep for yourselves. It's a sad story. It's a sad story. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ came, and he came to bring repentance to Israel. Notice it says Israel, doesn't say the Jews. And believe me, it doesn't mean the current state of Israel. That's a whole other set of sermons. So they accuse Stephen. They accuse Stephen. They bring him before the council, the Sanhedrin. They brought in false witness. This man speaks incessantly against this holy place and against the law. We've heard him say that the Nazarene Jesus will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down. We just talked about those customs, the oral traditions, comes the Talmud. Yes, Jesus Christ rejected the Talmud. He rejected the oral traditions. Why is the church erecting oral traditions now? Why are they following the path of the Jews? Why are they going down the same road that Jesus Christ warned them against the traditions of the elders and the precepts of the elders and the traditions of man? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware. And the church's gone wholesale down. This church is full. This city is full of churches that have adopted the precepts of the elders and the traditions of men. They got their little homosexual flags in front of all these churches in Washington, D.C. And then the Black Lives Matter thing. Listen, there's two races on earth. There's the seed of the serpent and there's the seed of the woman. There's the blood of Jesus Christ and those that have corrupted sinful blood. The church is the temple of God. We are the holy race. We are the chosen people, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That's the church of Jesus Christ. And we call the people out of darkness. Come on, people. Serve Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the answer. Don't be building your little traditions now like the Jews did. And the church, the Christian church in America wants to go right down that path. They've been doing it. And it's stunning to me that you can have Christian ministers would literally give their lives for a pagan state, and yet they can't stand up and say, we need to build Christian nations. Stephen reminds them. He's speaking. He's a testament. He's a prophet. He's a preacher. He's a prophet. He's preaching to the whole Jewish leadership in Sanhedrin. Talks about how God called Abraham out. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob renamed Israel, and the 12 patriarchs. Talks about how those patriarchs rejected Joseph. They took Joseph and they sold him into slavery. So we don't got nothing to do with you, Joseph. You think you're special. We don't want anything to do with you. They sold him into slavery. God had a plan. He raised up Joseph to be a ruler over the Egyptians, under Pharaoh, but still a ruler. And he became salvation for the bloodline of Jacob that went down and were saved in Egypt from the famine. But they rejected him. God said, hey, I got a plan anyway. And later on, we see how Moses comes along. Moses said he was a beautiful child in the eyes of God. He's beautiful in the eyes of God. And he was raised in Pharaoh's household. Learned all the learning and knowledge of Egypt. I mean, imagine that. You're a prince of Egypt. You're literally a prince of Egypt. 40 years old. He's got the whole world. Got the whole world in his grasp. He had everything. Wealth beyond imagination. Privilege. The whole nine yards. But he goes out and his first act of fame is race-based murder. Murders an Egyptian. He said, this ain't my blood. You ain't my blood. This Egyptian, you're not my blood. I'm a Hebrew. Murders a guy. How about that? How does that fit into your politically correct culture? Later on, he finds two brothers fighting. Two brothers is in the sense they're both Hebrews. God looks at him and says, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Again, rejecting the one God had sent. Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? This Moses whom they disowned is the one whom God sent to be both a ruler and deliverer with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the thorn bush. Who is that angel? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Verse 37, this is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. I think it's Deuteronomy 18. I referenced that in a blog post I had the other day called It's a Sad Story. So Moses pointed to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said to the Jews, very consistently, if you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. Acts chapter 7, verse 39, our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. This is Stephen's charge against the Jews, against the Jewish nation. Our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. They went to Aaron. The sons of Israel went to Aaron and said, make for us gods. We don't know where this Moses went. Make for us gods. Maybe the church has gone the same way. Well, we don't know where this Jesus is. That was a long time. That was 2,000 years ago. Make for us gods. So they make their own traditions. They make their own little altars. Acts 7, verse 42, but God turned away and delivered them up to serve the host of heaven, as it is written in the prophets. It was not to me that you offered victims and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? This is the word of God to the Jewish nation. God turned away and delivered them up to serve the host of heaven. As it is written in the prophets, it was not to me that you offered up victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness. Was it, O house of Israel? Verse 43, you also took along the tabernacle of Moloch in the star of the god Rampha, the images which you made to worship. I will also remove you beyond Babylon. You men are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, and are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. Whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. If you consider yourself a Jew, hey, that's the sermon to you. That's the sermon to you. Whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. If you're a Christian, this is the message that the early church preached to the Jews. And they either got born again or they turned against them. But make no mistake, there's one temple, there's one church. It's based on Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anything other than Jesus Christ. Anybody says they have a different way, they're a thief and a liar. They're a thief and a liar. I don't care what they say. Now, we're not going to get into this today, but next week we'll see what the opposition says. Well, they stoned Stephen, didn't they? They were cut to the quick, and they rose up and they stoned him. And Stephen looks up into heaven and say, I see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. And it sent these Jews right over the edge, and they drug him out of the city and they stoned him. And Stephen says, hey, God, don't hold this against him. But unto you I surrender my spirit. And they laid down their cloaks next to a young man. Makes me wonder how old he is. Anybody says a young man, he could be an older teenager. And they murdered Stephen. And we'll find out that God had mercy on this young man named Saul. Jewish man, Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he was the one that, again, he's too self-righteous to pick up a stone himself. But they all laid their cloaks down next to him, and they took the stones, and they were murdering people. God said, this is the perfect man. This is perfect. This is perfect. He is a Jew of the Jews. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's guilty of the blood of Christians. I'm going to take him, and he's going to get saved, and he's going to bear my message to the Jews and the Gentiles. And that's the story we'll see. God has a way. God has a way. Took the worst of the worst. But the answer for Saul wasn't you're saved because you're Jew. It's no, you're saved in spite of being a Pharisee. And he repented. He believed in Jesus Christ. First thing he does, we'll find out next week. He began declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com, coming at you live, Washington, D.C., 12 September 2021. Out.